Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna. And we have a really super long Sanskrit verse there. But we're not even going to read the Sanskrit. Do you know why? Why are we not going to read the Sanskrit?
Why?
Because there's no purport.
That's right. Luckily, there's no purport. So respecting the persons who wrote the purport. My mind becomes bewildered, but we will read the translation. My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. Everyone get that? Of course not. Oh, because it's on the board there. So. My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. So let's see. My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions, which you bestow upon those residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family, members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very lives and heart are all dedicated to you. So the ultimate reward of doing anything is what? What's the ultimate reward? What's that?
Krishna.
Yes, Krishna is the ultimate reward. Why is Krishna the ultimate reward? What do you get when you get Krishna?
Everything.
What's that?
Everything.
I don't know if Krishna is going to give you everything. But what specifically do you get when you become Krishna conscious? What three desirable things do you get? What is, along with Krishna, what do you get? What is Krishna made out of?
Distress from material, from distressed material.
Yes, that's the beginning. That's, what's that? Krishna is made out of what? And what else? Something else? What does Satchitananda mean? Plajanya, but that's goodness.
Eternity.
Eternity, yes. We enter into eternal life. And what else?
Knowledge, full knowledge.
Well, we get full consciousness. The highest extent that our consciousness can be at that present moment we achieve. In the presence of Krishna, everything is, our consciousness expands eternally. It gets, so our, as our consciousness expands, our ability to experience love and bliss eternally expands too. As Krishna's bliss expands, so our bliss expands, and as Krishna's consciousness expands, so simultaneously our consciousness also is eternally expanding. So we're able to relish more and more pleasure and bliss in different varieties. Inconceivably to us right now. So when we get Krishna, we get the source of all beauty, we realize the source of everything. Beauty, knowledge, strength, wealth, fame, renunciation. And Krishna shares those opulences with us. So not only Krishna possesses them, but also Krishna shares them with us. And everything we could want, and even more than that, we receive from Krishna. And those who don't have Krishna, what do they get?
Music.
What's that? Yeah, in the form of the three modes of material nature. Either we get Krishna, or we get one of the combination of the modes of nature. Tavad raga dvaya stenas. Tavad kara griham griham. Tavan moho grinigado. Tavat Krishna na janaha. Tavat for that long. Raga adaya. Material attachment. And so on. Stena. Thieves. Tavat. For that long. Kara griham. A prison. Griham. One's home. Tavat. For that long. Moha. The bewilderment of family affection. Angri. Upon their feet. Nigada. Shackles. Yavat. As long as Krishna, O Krishna, Lord Krishna, na, do not become te, your devotees, jana, any persons. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. My dear Lord Krishna, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves. Their homes remain prisons. And their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles. Purport. Apparently the residents of Vrindavan, the abode of Lord Krishna, are simple householders engaged in ordinary affairs such as herding cows, cooking, rearing children, and performing religious ceremonies. However, all these activities are intensely engaged in the loving service of Lord Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan perform all activities in pure Krishna consciousness, and thus exist on the most exalted platform of liberated life. Otherwise, the same activities performed without Krishna consciousness constitute ordinary bondage to the material world. Thus one should not misunderstand the exalted position of the residents of Vrindavan, nor should one consider oneself highly religious simply because one performs ordinary domestic affairs very enthusiastically, but without Krishna consciousness. By focusing our passionate attachment on our family and society, we are completely deviated from the progressive path of Krishna consciousness. Conversely, if we engage our family in the loving service of the Lord, our endeavors to maintain our family become part and parcel of our progressive spiritual duties. In conclusion, by studying the extraordinary status of the residents of Vrindavan, we can see the essential quality of their lives is pure Krishna consciousness. By rendering of loving service to the Lord without a trace of material desire or mental speculation, such loving service to the original personality of Godhead immediately creates the atmosphere of Sri Vrindavan Dham, the kingdom of God. So the text again. My dear Lord, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves, their homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles. To an ordinary person, these verses would seem very insensitive. That my dear family, who loves me so much, how can I be cruel and heartless towards them? I must have some affection for them. And how is it that my desires, that they're, what are they stealing from me? Without desire, how can I live? And how is it that my home remains prison? It has my bed in it, and it's a nice, comfortable place. If it's a prison, it's an enjoyable prison. And how is it that I'm foot shackled by my family members? Well, we can't understand that unless we actually get another experience in Krishna consciousness. We don't know what imprisonment is unless we become free. If we don't know what freedom is, we can't know how we're being imprisoned. If we don't know what freedom from desire is like, we can't understand what desire is robbing us from. When we stop having material desires, then we can see what opens up for us that's been taken away from us by material desires. And when we have affection for Krishna, and we're able to understand how everyone and everything is related to Krishna, our actual real affection for others will not decrease, it'll actually expand unlimitedly. But on the spiritual platform, and we won't become bewildered by other people's material attachments and conceptions. So, therefore, Krishna consciousness is being described here, and it remains up to us how much we endeavor to achieve Krishna consciousness. And here, Brahma, a very intelligent person, he's telling us three things that we should be looking out for. One of them is, how is my material attachments robbing me? For instance, every day here we're greeting the deities, we're chanting the prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to the Sri Chaitanya prayers. And we're chanting Guru Vastaka, we're chanting Mangalarati. So, how is material attachment robbing me? Because we're chanting, we're happy, hopefully we're happy, and then suddenly some thought comes to our mind and we're in some other place, some other experience, until we finally realize, well, where did I just go to? Maybe I should come back to the Guru Pooj. We're back into the Guru Pooj. Actually, maybe I should do something to become conscious of what's going on here in the Guru Pooj. And then our mind comes and robs us again, distracts us. The mind goes, hey, what about that? Yeah. Hare Krishna. So our minds are constantly robbing us of actual Krishna consciousness. If, at all, we didn't enter into the Guru Puja, everyone's bad, I'm bad, everything's bad, Hare Shri Guru Charanapana. And anyhow, somehow I'm here. I don't know why, how I got here, but I'm here. Anyhow, everything's bad. This is terrible. When is this over? This is too, you know. Why is he singing like that? Why this person's dancing? He's too close to me. Our minds, we can enter into it in complete bewilderment, thinking, well, I'm a good person because I'm here. Unlike these other devotees who are not here. At least I'm a good person. Even though I hate everyone and everything, I'm still a good person because I'm here. Well, it's good to be there, but we should also try to change our consciousness and not get cheated by our material consciousness. Our material consciousness is trying to convince us that we don't exist in eternity. The most important thing is what's going on in the past, present, or the future. And the present is not about devotional service. It's about all my concerns for the present, all my concerns about the past, all my concerns about the future. And we get robbed because we don't relax, enter into the atmosphere of the present Krishna consciousness, and therefore become eligible to actually feel what's actually going on. Feel the vibrations. feel the Krishna consciousness that's very embodied, it's manifested in these prayers that we're singing. The very positive nature of it. But we get drawn away by the negative feelings, emotions, conceptions that we bring with us, or that arise with us due to different factors. Instead, we should, as Krishna says, we should forget about those things, try and draw the mind back, even if it goes away to some material attachment or conception. Bring it back and just try to enter, try to, as Prabhupada said, when we chant Hare Krishna, we should try to feel Krishna's presence. Try to enter into the atmosphere of joyfulness. Give up all the anxieties. Don't pay attention to them. Actually think that this is wonderful. Such a wonderful opportunity to dance nicely, to sing nicely, to appreciate how others are singing, to appreciate what the meanings of the words are, what we're talking about. And then the result is that we'll actually become Krishna conscious. We have to be eligible to enter into Krishna consciousness by developing the same mood as the residents of Vrindavan. If we want to enter into fire, then we have to become like fire. You can't enter into fire if you're water. And you can't enter into water if you're fire. You have to become like what you're trying to enter into. So if we're trying to enter into the realm of spiritual bliss, we have to become blissful. Now we ourselves, we only have a certain amount of bliss, but we have to become receptive to the unlimited bliss that's being offered to us, whether it's the chanting of the holy names or the prayers of the acharya, the spiritual master, that we have to be receptive to the bliss that's emanating from them. If we come to the temple and we think we forget who we're dealing with, then we won't actually appreciate. They're living in a world of bliss. No worries. That's why we may wonder, I come in there with a sour face and I'm in anxiety. And they're still smiling. What are they smiling at? Are they happy to see me miserable? No, they're not smiling at our misery. They're smiling at our stupidity. They're offering us, an opportunity to give up our ridiculous attachments to nothing of any value, and join them in being happy in Krishna consciousness. And therefore it's pointed out that Krishna is nothing more valuable than Krishna. And we have to qualify ourselves. And this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, we can qualify ourselves very easily. Just chant Vishaya Charya Se Rase Majiya Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. We don't have to give up all our sense gratification. We just have to regulate it and then happily chant Hare Krishna. Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. Then the result of that, as it says here, their homes remain prisons. Then we'll see that our attachment to our home, whatever it is, wherever we're living, is just like a prison. We think, I'm dependent on this bed. Unless I have this bed, my life is miserable. I need this bed. I need this place. This is my place. This is my kingdom. Everyone has their kingdom. And we become attached to it. Which is all right. We need some place to sleep, some space for our belongings. We need these things. But we have to become spiritual. We have to see it as Krishna, not as ours. And we see it as Krishna's, by his mercy, he's given me this opportunity to utilize this space in his service, rather than that Krishna is giving me the space for my sense gratification, and we put him in the other room so he doesn't interfere with what I want to do here. We have to recognize this is Krishna's space, and he's given me to utilize it for all kinds of things, eating, sleeping, etc. Then we'll be in Krishna conscious in that space, in any space we recognize. And then attachment for, then we'll be able to give up not our affectionate feelings for our family members, material affection. There's a difference between material affection and spiritual affection. Material affection is business. I love you if you love me. And as soon as you don't love me, I don't love you anymore either. So it's not really affection, it's business. It's security. You'll take care of my body, and I'll try and do something to take care of yours, and it's a deal. Yes, we're friends. We're in love with each other. But real affection is unlimited. It's actually of concern for the soul. It's actually mainly concerned with pleasing Krishna, knowing well that Krishna and every soul is inseparable. There's no real distinction between serving Krishna and serving the souls. There's no separate interest between Krishna and the souls. So when we actually have Krishna's interest, then automatically we have everyone else's interest also. It becomes unlimited affection, not just limited affection. It becomes expanded to everyone and everything. So therefore it's considered foot shackles. Because it's impeding, it's not eliminating our love when we become Krishna conscious, it's expanding it unlimitedly, unconditionally to everyone and everything. As we develop, of course it doesn't automatically, as soon as we chant Hare Krishna, all the foot shackles break loose and we love everyone. But gradually it's developed. Our animosity and our material affection gradually decrease, and our real attachment our real affection, our real spiritual affection expands unlimitedly. So that's our choice. We can remain, you know, thinking about all these things that go through my mind as something more important than devotional, than our devotional activities. We can remain attached to conceiving of how this is my kingdom and so much of a kingdom I have now and it'll get bigger in the future. And we can also remain attached to our material relationships, trying to do business with everyone we meet to get some, ultimately maybe we're trying to get some affection from them, but affection for what? Our material body. They can make our body feel comfortable. They can make us feel good. We want to feel good. Good about what? Good about something, you know, external. Or even internal, that we want to make our body feel comfortable. Although it's almost impossible to make the body completely comfortable, but we're trying. And then when it's comfortable, then we go to sleep. Or we but in any case, ultimately it's not, when we get 90 years old, it's not going to be so comfortable, no matter how good we are making the body comfortable. So the attempt to learn how to make the body comfortable is all right, but it's Krishna's body. So we want to make it comfortable so we can do nice service for Krishna. Not simply for the sake of doing it, making it comfortable. We want to make it comfortable. We want to have nice relationships with others because that's, we can help them, we can become, we'll be in Krishna consciousness. It's there. And we can help others become Krishna conscious. We have nice positive relationships in Krishna consciousness. But if we have material relationships without Krishna consciousness, it'll never last. In America, most of the violence that goes on in America, America's famous for violence, I think, isn't it? The cowboys and Indians, they're always killing something. But most of the violence that goes on in America is between family members. Why? Because if you're disturbed, then obviously you're going to be disturbed with everyone, especially the people who are closest to you. so the people that are living with you get the brunt of your disturbance all the time. And you disturb them, and then they get disturbed, and they disturb you, and then unwanted things happen sometimes. So although we may think that if I get some relationship, we'll have nice, affectionate relationships, that's usually true if you don't associate with anyone too much. You don't get too close to anyone. Because after a while, the familiarity breeds contempt, and then you wind up, what started as courting means trying to have a relationship, in America at least, and probably here too, winds up in court, trying to get rid of the other person. So we have to be very careful that relationships in Krishna consciousness, especially the closer we are to people, the more important it is to be Krishna conscious, or else we'll commit offenses and we'll become disturbed, and then we'll disturb others too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you for this fine lecture. I would just like to ask about this last one that you made. Could you maybe give some advice? How can we avoid offenses when we are in the association of some devotees very often? So how can we avoid offenses to really have nice relationships with devotees?
Well, we have to develop the discrimination, who to respect within the mind, who to cooperate with, and who to take instructions from. So, if we take instructions, an example, from the best devotees, Prabhupada's instructions, for instance, or the best examples we can see amongst the devotees, then we learn how to develop better relationships. And amongst equals, we have to learn how to take and give equal association. How to accept that some people are on the same level as us, and we walk on the same path, and be willing to hear their suggestions, how we can make improvement, and be willing to positively, for the others' interests, and give them suggestions how they can advance, to develop real friendships with devotees who are on the same level. And for those who accept us as superior in experience and Krishna consciousness, we should be prepared to help them if they so require or a request. Then we'll have nice relationships with the devotees. Anything else? Usually the problems arise because we don't know what the relationship is. It's not clear who's superior, who's on the same level, and who's actually accepting us as superior in experience and instruction. And therefore, sometimes we get it mixed up. We don't know how to hear from the superior devotees and actually take it seriously enough so we can apply it in our equal relationships and how to apply it to the relationships of those who are less experienced than we are. Therefore, we read from Prabhupada's books. We read from devotees. We hear from devotees who are more experienced than we are for the purpose of how to develop relationships in all circumstances, with superiors, with equals, and with inferiors. That's the whole idea of instruction. We may get instruction on how to cook better or whatever, but we're cooking for Krishna to please him and his devotees. It's not just learning how to cook or do anything. It has to have some purpose in relation with Krishna to please him and his devotees. But the most important thing is how to learn loving relationships, because without love, then there is no Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Microphone.
Thank you for your lecture. What is love?
Love is love for Krishna. Krishna and his devotees, his pure devotees, they emanate bhakti or prema, pure transcendental love and pleasure, spiritual pleasure. So we'll understand what love is. We understand a little bit when we do so, when we appreciate, for instance, some devotee because of their devotional qualities or their devotional activities. We experience a little bit of love. I mean, in the material world, is love also experienced? Probably the closest to spiritual life is the love between the mother and the child, selfless service. So we get a little glimpse of that. But in Krishna consciousness, when we actually experience, as we experience more and more transcendental experience, more and more association with Krishna and his pure devotees, who emanate love, then we understand what love is from them. We learn, we experience love and we learn it, what it is from them. So the higher the devotee, the more advanced they are, then the more they emanate and can explain what love is, and the more we can apply it and experience it. Therefore, satam prasangam amavirya samvido. In the association of devotees, satam prasangam, in the association, mamavirya samvido. We hear about Krishna's glories. But it's not that just he's all powerful and everything. He is, that's also part of it. He's also all loving. He loves everyone, and when we're able to feel his love, then we can understand what real love is. And when we experience the love of his devotees for him, then we actually understand what real loving reciprocations are. And then we can understand what, that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Because even he's interested, Krishna's even interested to find out what love is more and more. That's his whole business. So he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience that love of Srimati Radharani, specifically in three different phases. To experience the love that Srimati Radharani feels for Krishna, which is unlimitedly pleasurable also, feeling our own love. Just like if we're angry, we have to suffer due to our anger. When we're happy, we enjoy due to our happiness. So also when we have love, then we also enjoy real love. So Srimati Radharani has the greatest love, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to experience, Krishna wanted to experience her love, and to experience Krishna's love. So Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience the love, his own love that Srimati Radharani is experiencing. How she experiences it, because she experiences Krishna's love even more than he does. And to experience the wonderful qualities that Krishna has. Because Krishna has all wonderful qualities, and also his devotees have wonderful qualities, but Krishna has unlimited wonderful qualities, but he can't enjoy them as much as Srimati Radharani enjoys them, or experience them. So as we progress in Krishna consciousness, these things will be revealed to us. Anything else? Kuala Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.